Father, thank you for your presence right now. I love it where your presence is. Your presence brings so much life to so many people in a moment. So I thank you. Father, I pray also just for our nation and the situations that are going on even right now as we're sitting in this church. I pray for those that are put in place to protect us. For right now, they need protection, Father. And we're asking you, the Lord, to extend your hand to everyone that's in a position to protect us as citizens of the United States, that you would protect them. In your Son's name, Jesus, I thank you. Amen. Well, I felt led to pray that prayer just because of just the current events. And I'm probably more closer to it than normal because of my son Gabriel being a police officer, you know, and as his daddy that really did not want him to be a police officer. He knows that. I remember going to the Lord and saying to the Lord, I really don't want my son to be a police officer. And he said, I need my people in every area, you know. So that's one of the things that I just felt like I needed to pray for. Today is because they are there to protect us. And God wants them there. Whether we agree with what they do or not, God wants them there. So we need to pray for them. Matter of fact, God has told us to pray for those in those type of situations. Victor, I wanted a hug from you. You gave me a handshake. Thank you. Well, it's great to be back here with Pastor Jan and Sue and the rest of you, Pastor John. Many of you keep up with me because I have you on my prayer list to pray for me on a constant basis as I travel throughout the United States. I've been to all 50 states, you guys. Doesn't mean I ministered all 50 states in the sense of coming up and preaching. I think I'm at around 30 states that I've ministered in so far. You know, but God knows what he's doing. And I'm not seeking to minister in all 50 states. You know, right now I can't even keep up with the number of requests that are asking me to come and minister throughout the country. You know, it's more than, it's a lot. And this year has probably been more hectic than normal due to the fact that I scheduled some things just to be scheduling them. And now I wish I said, oh, boy, why did I schedule that? Two weeks from now, I'm supposed to be in New York. So I've been going back and forth across the United States for the last since March. On the West Coast at one moment, then on the East Coast. Then on the West Coast, on the East Coast. And sometimes I fly and sometimes I drive. You know, roads within the United States that I know very well. And so I'm not complaining about it. Marilyn's not with me because she did travel with me a lot this year. And she needs a break because she promised she'll go with me next month to places. So this is her break time to stay at home and, enjoy the humidity of Virginia. Because I'm out here in Washington. You hear what I'm saying? Someone asked me one time, they said, well, how is it like to be in the humidity? I said, I don't know. I've never been in it back there. I've always been out here. So schedule me back here next year, this time. And if we keep that up, I'll never experience that humidity back there. So she's just telling me how bad it is back there. But she's growing in the Lord, and we're both moving forward as God wants us. I thought I was going to go back there. This is just for the church family, and I'll get into the message. I thought I was going to go back there for 2 years. I thought God was just sending me back there for 2 years, and then I was going to come back here. Because of the election, you guys hear what I just said? It looks like I'll be out there a little bit longer. This year, the doors that were open to me closed up pretty quick because most of your politicians don't trust nobody. Do you guys hear what I just said? and they just think somebody's coming in to get information so that they can give it to somebody else so somebody else can be reelected. They need prayer. Just know they're just like you and I. You know what I mean? And many of them are seeking something to help them do a better job at what they're doing. You know, it's pretty easy for them to get caught up in all kinds of messes. But every one of them are going to die sooner or later. Every one of them is going to leave the planet. So they're headed in the same direction that most of us in this room are, except for us that are born again, we will go to be with the Father and Jesus. Is that good news or is that good news? Pastor Jan told me there's many of you that are new and have not heard me before. And that tells me what direction God wants me to go in, and that's okay with me. Some of you heard me before. But just so that you that are in the room that have heard me before, listen to the things I say. You know, Peter said one time that he would bring it back to your remembrance. We've got to remember what Jesus Christ has given to us every day. Because every day, whether you like it or not, you're going to be faced with something that's going to challenge what you believe. You know, you that think that you can only do it every once in a while, then only do it when things get heated up, and then you're going to get into it, you're going to be in trouble. This is a daily walk with Christ. It's not a sometime walk. It's not a almost walk. Or it's not a time to say, today I'll do it and tomorrow I won't do it, Michael. Today you've got to do it. Tomorrow you're going to have to do it. We as human beings, we want to hit a plateau and say we arrived. As long as you're on the planet, you have not arrived. And even when you get to heaven, you're not going to arrive like you think you're going to arrive. Today is going to be great there. There is no day. So I said the moment's going to be great there that you're in right now. But the moment that you're in next is greater than the moment you were in. You know, I tell people all the time now, you were created for newness. Did you hear what I just said? You were never created to be an oldness, even though things are deteriorating, Judy. Even though things are getting older. You understand what I mean? We were not created for that. For when Adam and Eve were created, they were created for newness, life. That is your natural position in God's kingdom is life. So you might as well get used to it. You are going to get better. And it's going to be a continuous thing forever. And I know some of you are thinking, well, how can that be? That's God. He can do it. Is that good news or is that good news? You know, I say that a whole lot. There's a book I got that's coming out pretty soon about the question and answerings that people have asked over the years, you know. And I'm calling it, is that good news? You know what I mean? Because that's what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to give us life and life more abundantly in every aspect of our lives. You know, some of you don't know this, and some of you do know this, or you've heard it, you know. Over 10 years ago, May 5th, 2006, I died. I'm one of the few people that's on the planet that has the evidence in the medical records and the medical field, or the doctors, that I died. There's not a lot of them that are out there, and I'm not saying they didn't die. I'm not saying they didn't have a heavenly experience. But when it comes to bringing in the medical people that say they died, they really can't say that. You guys hear what I just said? You guys were one of the first churches I came to back then, not within the first year of what happened to me. And I was going out for 5 years telling you before a doctor would come forward and say that the man died. I've got a little clip I want to show this morning. It's not the whole thing. Some of you have seen it before. But it is the doctor that was actually in the room when my heart stopped for an hour and 45 minutes. You know? He is in the room. He is the one that's working on me. He's just not any doctor. His name is Dr. Rigge. I've been in places where people have had him, Chuck, as their doctor. So when I bring him up, they say, hey, that's my doctor. Now, they don't want to have to go through the same thing I went through, okay? So I tell them, this doctor was not the one that caused the issue, Steve. He was the one that was brought in to clean up the mess. Do you guys hear me? But Dr. Rigge, I want to let you know, he was voted in the top 10 doctors in the state of Washington. Now, when I go other places and I say that, I always have to tell people, Washington doesn't have just 10 doctors. Whether you realize it or not, you're way up here. You know what I mean? You know, most of the people I minister to on the East Coast have never gone past the Rockies. It amazes me how many people stick around their own little towns back there. And they think that's what it is all about. It also amazes me, John, that when I go into a town, it's been established from the 1600s up. And I've been amazed by people how they can go through the graveyard and they can tell me this is their great, 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 great grandparent. You guys hear me? They're still in the area. But Dr. Irigaray was rated as one of the top 10 doctors. He was also rated as the number one patient care doctor at one time. That means patients that were under him have rated him so high that no other doctor in the state of Washington was rated higher than him in the way that he takes care of patients. So you just don't got anybody up there that I'm going to show right now that's just saying anything. Okay? You've got a person that is an expert in his field, plus he is very highly, revered in his field throughout the country. I want to show that right now. Nancy, why don't you go ahead and show that? We're just going to, it's only about a minute.
In a way, I told his wife that, you know, now, well, we have just to pray and wait because there's nothing else I can do.
I believe in healing. I believe that God is a healer. And I was trusting God for Dean's healing.
3 days later, Dean woke up.
He was so eager. We got to get people saved. We got to let people know about Jesus.
Despite doctors' concerns that Dean's prolonged ordeal would leave him impaired or even worse, there are no signs that Dean even had a brush with death. He's the picture of health. In fact, the staff at St. Francis Hospital dubbed him the Miracle Man.
It's a miracle that he's alive. There's no question about it. It is a miracle. Yeah, he's alive, that he's talking, that he has no brain damage. But this is very exceptional because he was really, really dead for a long time.
I used to work in the juvenile justice system there in King County in Seattle. I used to be in courts all the time. And when I was in court, they would bring in witnesses. And witnesses would give what they believe or what they saw. And then you had what we call the expert come in. And most of the time when the expert gave his view of what was said, it was a done deal. Do you hear what I just said? This is the expert. This man would know if a person is dead. He's seen it before. He's probably seen it before it happened to me. He saw it after me. But he knows what dead is. Of course, I didn't know you could be really, really dead. I thought you just died and that's it. But this man said I was really, really dead. Tammy, I've had people literally, what do you want to say, research me out to prove that I did not die. I think I've said it in this church before, Inside Edition. Literally was going to do a program on proving that near-death experiences were hoax. They started out with me. Did you hear what I just said? They did their investigation, and they came back to me thinking I was going to be disappointed because they said, we cannot put you on TV. Your story is too true. Was not disappointed at all, John. The sad thing about it, they still ran it, Tina. They still ran the story. Do you guys hear what I just said? Most of us in the room, whether we realize it or not, we're inundated with visual media all the time. Our eyes are taking in things that are coming in all the time. Most of us in the room don't realize that the majority of that stuff is not true. Amen. You know, we think because we saw with our own eyes that it's true. That's not what tells you what is truth. What tells you what is truth is the spirit that resides on the inside of you that are born again. You've got to rely on the spirit that resides on the inside of you to tell the truth. It will not tell you a lie. You may not want to hear the truth, but the spirit always tells you the truth. You know? So to prove that I died, Michael, that's the easy part. My heart stopped for an hour and 45 minutes. That's the easy part. Where I went is a whole different story. But I get the privilege of telling people because I was born again. Because I knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because I had the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of me. I went. I love to say this. I went where Christians are supposed to go. It is not unusual for Christians to go to heaven. That's what happens to us. You know? And I don't say that because it sounds good, Victor. I say it because I want people to grasp that are born again. You're going. Act like it. You're going. Act like it. I was with the pastor earlier and we were talking, and it's always great to be with Pastor Jan. Probably one of the hardest things, or the saddest things, and he doesn't know this, was when God was reassigning me to that side of the planet. I was saying to the Lord, how am I going to keep moving without the pastor helping me to frame what I experience? See, for the first 2.5 years, Pastor John and Pastor Jan would sit down with me and I would share things that happened to me while I was with the Father and Jesus in heaven. And they would say, here it is in the scripture. You know why I get more and more people asking me to come? Because I stuck with that. This is what I experienced. Here it is in the Word of God. This is what I experienced. Here it is in the Word of God. It is not the story that is bringing life. It is the Word of God that brings life. You got to hear that, you guys. The only reason I'm back in Virginia right now in the Washington, D.C. area is because the Father reassigned me. Because he wanted to give the people in our nation that run it the opportunity to hear what it's like to die as a Christian. I have not changed the story. Even in front of them, I will tell them, this is what I experienced, but here it is in the Word of God. This is what I experienced, but here it is in the Word of God. It doesn't mean they believe in the Word of God. Doesn't it mean they even believe in Jesus Christ? But once I say it, it raises within them a curiosity to look at that book even more. Because when you speak the Word of God, it brings life to people, Dale. My wife asked me one time, she said, why do you bring people's names out when you go to buy his word? You kind of just look at people and you bring their name out. You know, I know they're recording it. I know it's going to go on the internet. I know people are going to listen to it because people tell me that all around the nation. And some of them are wondering who John is. You know? If I say Tammy, because I always say Tammy's name, I said her name every time I probably got up here. They're probably saying, I wonder to meet that Tammy someday. But when I come to this body and I minister to this church, it's family. I'm not just talking to anybody. I'm talking to people that I grew up with. I knew Gabriel when he was a little boy. And I'm not talking about my Gabriel, John. I'm talking about yours. And now he's a young man. I knew Scott. You know, I knew them. So as I'm watching them grow and they're reminding me how old you are. They ain't reminding me how old I am. You know. Then it becomes more personal for me to not only say it, but to bring in the names of the people in this room, not because I'm picking on you, because we're family. One of the scriptures I bring up all the time is found in John, the 14th chapter, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Curtis knows we ministered this in Singapore. Steve knows we ministered this in Singapore. Those that went with me to New Zealand in Peru, no, we ministers in those different countries. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The advantage that everyone that's in this room that born again has is know that they're going to go somewhere. That place that they're going to promise to go is to be with the Father and Jesus. It's His promise. Bottom line. And since God can't lie, you might as well get used to it, Harold. You're going. Seriously. Bottom line. A lot of us are trying to work to get there. It's a done deal. Stop working to get there. That ain't what God is asking you to do on the planet, to work to get to heaven. That's not what's going on here. When I left my body, I went. Was I perfect when I went? No. Did I have issues? Yes. But I was born again, and that's why I went. Amen. Did you guys hear what I just said? You know? I went because He said that's what happens to us. John, I say that for one reason. I say that for if He said that's what happened to us and it was true, don't you think everything else He said would be true too? Amen. I'm an eternal thinker. I am not a temporal thinker, Pastor. I cannot think in the realm of temporal thinking. And really, if you're born again and have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you're going against your own nature because you are really an eternal thinker. Temporal thinker only thinks of the moment. Eternal thinker thinks of the eternity. Amen. We that are eternal thinkers know that we're not going to stay here forever. Right. We're passing through. We're sojourners. The Bible even says we're ambassadors. But this is not our home. And Jesus is all He's saying. Is all you that are connected to me, all you that are born again, all you that are confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you're coming where He is. Is that good news? You got to go through here. If I was to show the rest of that DVD, at the end I tell people, I'm on my way home. This is the pathway. My Father says I have to go to get there. I'm not saying I'm working to go home. He has already directed me and He said, Dean, I placed you on this planet. I've got a plan for your life and this is the pathway. Yep. And as long as I stay in that pathway, things happen to me that are good. It's when I get out of it that I'm in trouble. Right. Some of you in this room are out of your pathway. Yep. You know how there, I go a lot of places and people want to talk about spiritual warfare, Pastor. They always say the devil's getting them. I always think, man, you got to understand, he's not omnipresent, so he can't get everybody at the same moment. At the most, you might have some little demon bothering you. But you know what, really? They say, well, teach us spiritual warfare. I always say, first I got to teach you how to fight your flesh. Because the majority of your battles is not with the spirits of demons, it's with your own flesh. It's your own flesh that gets you out of the pathway of following God more than anything else out there. Now, if you're advanced enough and the demons do bother you, okay. But that's very rare. Most people, they're dealing with their own flesh. The demons don't even have to deal with them. Do you guys hear me? I'm just letting you know that right now. Your own thinking. You that have been to this church for a long time know what I'm talking about. You know, it's your own thinking that gets you in trouble. You know? So Jesus says that. One of the things I try to get people to understand, this is not a belief system. Pastor John, if I can get them out of thinking, this is the way I believe, and know it's a fact no matter what. It is not a fact according to what we say are facts. Because we change our facts all the time. There's a line that's been drawn by God, and he ain't changed from that line. Well, we have changed from the line. It's called political correctness. You know? We can't do what we're even trying to do in the United States. Taking everybody's culture and letting them have a culture here that they had in their own country, which we don't even understand what culture is. Culture is the way that you survive in the environment that you live in. And when you're in a different environment, you gotta survive different. What worked in there won't work here. And I'm not telling you to get rid of your traditions or your customs. I'm telling you, it won't work here. We're not a bilingual society. And I'm not talking against different languages. But here in the United States, if you're really going to make it, no matter how, you've got to know English. I don't want nobody to go out here and say I'm talking against their language. I'm not. I enjoy other languages. Victor, I've been to other countries. I love it when they praise the Lord in their own language. But they ain't changing for me. When I go to another country and they don't speak the language I speak, they get me an interpreter. And if I'm going to stay there, I might as well learn the language or I'm never going to fit into the culture. But we change all the time. Jesus Christ has not changed. He set a standard. It is the same standard today as it's going to be tomorrow. You got to realize if you're going to line up with it or not. There's only one way to get to heaven. There isn't 100 different ways. There isn't 100 different belief systems that get you in. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And I have people all the time trying to tell me, please change it. Why don't you just say it, you can be nice and get in? No, that's not what happened to me when I got there. He looked at me, saw himself on the inside of me, and I was in. I was born again. Harold, I have people say all the time, that's your belief system. And the saddest words that come out of my mouth are this, you'll find out. I'm not saying it because I'm right. I'm not saying it because I'm arrogant. I'm saying it because it's true. Everybody on the planet sooner or later is going to leave their body. And June, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not in. Troy. My brother Troy, he come up from Rainier area of Oregon. And he told me he didn't bring no tomatoes to throw at me. So I told him I was going to make sure everybody know who he is. Next time he'll keep his mouth shut. But there's only one way, Tammy. There isn't 100 different ways. The only reason I got there is because of what Jesus said. What am I supposed to do? So, well, be gentle to what they believe in. When they get to before the Lord, he's not going to be gentle in what they believe in. Do you hear me? We've got to at least give them a chance now. Because when they get there, it's too late. The bottom line is this. The Bible says this. Every knee will bow. It didn't say some knees. It said every knee. It didn't say certain knees. It said every knee. It didn't say black knees. It said every knee. It didn't say white knees. You guys getting this? It said every knee. Every knee will bow. Every tongue. Now you got to understand, out of their mouths, it's going to come these words. Not some people's mouths, but everybody's mouth. That Jesus Christ is Lord. And if they don't say it here, when they say it there, it is too late. And I'm not saying that so we go out and we say we got something. You don't, nanny, 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 nanny. I'm saying it because we got to get serious about what we're doing. Go across the nation, and even Pastor said something to me in this room this morning. And I'll say it to you. You that are born again, you got to get ready. You got to be knitted in. You've got to be so much of what God wants you to be in the public and in the private. I am sorry to say, but there is a lot of us that act Christian or Christ-like in the public. But when we're in the private, we act a whole different way. Do you know that's going to come out sooner or later? The way I act in my hotel room when nobody's watching, Victor, and you know what I mean. What I'm looking at on that TV, maybe no one else will know. But if I'm looking at things that are deteriorating, are destroying, that are going to hurt me and others, it's going to come out sooner or later. You guys get this? Watch what you do in private. And especially us husbands, how we treat our family. And stop looking at them and say, but they doing this. He'll take care of that. You take care of you. There is a scripture in the Bible that says, he that finds a good thing finds he that finds a wife finds a good thing. You know that? Yeah. Michael, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. In the Hebrew, you know what that means? If you take care of my daughter, I'll take care of you. That's what it means. And many a man out there, you wondering what's going on? You ain't taking care of the daughter. Well, I know that's calling a lot of people to task right now. At least I should hear some higher amens. Maybe the men, I don't hear no higher amen. But the women, this should cause some of them to be to task right now. Move along. Okay. That was a man talking. God has put some standards out there that are not going to change, no matter how much we change. If you're in trouble right now, all you have to do is get back to his standards. Well, Dean, you don't understand. This is going to cause this and this. You're already in trouble. What do you have to lose? My heart stops for an hour and 45 minutes. I go to be with the Father and Jesus. That's what Jesus says happens to Christians. When I get there, all of heaven is glad I enter in. One of the greatest moments I had was just coming into that rightness. Nothing's wrong there. Everything is right, Debbie. Everything is right. You can say, well, it's going to, no, it's right. And you know what was so great about it? I fit. One of the most powerful things I can say is I fit. I fit in that rightness. You know why you don't get along with wrongness? You don't fit. You were made for rightness. You were not made for wrongness. And a lot of times out there, people are wondering, why am I having all this stuff? It's because you weren't made for that stuff, Victor. You were made to be in rightness. And Roz, when I got there, I fit. He didn't say, wait a minute. You're not clean enough. He didn't say, well, we got a place over here for you guys over here to be, detoxed. You're bringing too much of the world with you. We want to make sure it doesn't get in here. He didn't put me in an incubator and watch me for a while. When I entered in, John, I fit. And the majority of us on the planet don't understand that you were created for rightness. We struggle with it. The only reason we struggle with it is because we have gone with wrongness so long that when rightness does come, we fight against it. And we don't need to fight against rightness. Someone would say, well, are you saying that you were right? I was only right because Jesus Christ was right. Yeah. Yeah. Many times you've heard me say this, Pastor. I don't have to be right. Jesus does. I just rely on His rightness. You know? So when I enter in, everything was right. It was past peace. You've heard this before, many of you out there. There was nothing to be peaceful from. How do I explain that, Tammy? How do I tell you that you're getting ready to enter into a place where you don't even have to, peace doesn't even exist because there's nothing to be peaceful from? We're always looking for something to be peaceful from. Tina, you were raising all three of those boys. There were times when you wanted some peace. I don't know about now, you know what I mean? But I remember back then. I always had so much grace for Tina because I have three brothers. And my mom had to raise four boys. You know, you had three. Think if you would have added one more boy. John would have had to really understand how much he had a good thing, huh? But there's times when we want peace from so much. And in heaven, there's nothing to be peaceful from. And yet my father says, or he puts in the book. I went to the Amish. I got to minister to the Amish recently, you know. They wouldn't have a public meeting, so they would let me go from house to house. So I had to go from house to house and tell the story of what it was like to die and go to be with the Father and Jesus and with the Amish. You know what I mean? There were several bishops that said they really didn't want to hear me. But after they heard the other people talking about me, they wanted to hear me. And then they said, we hope that guy comes back. You understand? But I remember going into the Amish and ministering to them and telling them what it was like to enter into heaven. You know? And when I entered in, I told them everything was right. There was nothing wrong. And they would say, the book says that. Yeah. I like that. They would always refer to the Bible as the book. Yeah. And whether you realize it or not, they have a German accent because their language really is German. You know? But every time I would share something, they say, the book says that. I loved it when they said it. See, you stick with the word, doesn't matter where you go, if people are reading the word, they're going to come and confirm what you're saying. You know? There's nothing to be peaceful from. And yet, the Bible does say in Philippians, the fourth chapter, that we can experience that peace every once in a while. It says that you can have peace past understanding. There are times in your life, Pastor, you know this better than anybody. There were times in your life when things were chaotic and yet you had so much peace. You know what I'm talking about. And there are so many chaotic things on this planet. Some of you right now have peace about this current election that's getting ready to take place. Some of you don't.
More don't.
You're worried about something that you have no control over any other way. And I guarantee you, when you get to heaven, you ain't going to remember this election. I'm not saying don't vote, but I'm telling you, it is not going to be a thought in your mind when you get there. You're not going to get up there and say, why did you let Donald Trump be president? Why did you let Hillary Clinton be president? Whoever president's going to be. I'm telling you right now. So some of you need to pray more. Because you need to enter in that peace. That's past understanding. Amen. Everything in heaven was glad I was there. The Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. They were all glad I was there. But everything in heaven is alive. Everything in heaven can speak. And I like to frame it for people to understand that when you enter in, they are so glad that you're there. There are animals in heaven. The Bible says that. There's horses in heaven. You got the lamb and the lion that are going to lie down together. So we know there's animals in heaven. Revelation, the fifth chapter, tells you animals come around the throne of God and give Him praise. The eighth chapter tells you there's a bird flying and says something. So when I got into heaven, all of the animals were glad I was there. Not just the animals. The atmosphere was glad I was there. I know this is outside of our thinking. There are some things we will never understand, but we were created to accept. Do you think you will understand God to the fullness? Victor, the day you understand God to the fullness is the day you become God. Did you guys hear what I just said? And I'm not saying don't study the Bible. I'm not saying don't learn things. But understand, you will never, ever, ever come to the fullness of who God is. And you weren't created for that. You were created to accept Him. Some of you need to accept Him. Because you need a God. Somebody in the room, you have financial situations that are above you. And you schemed and you did all the things that you know how to do that were worldly. You need a God. You need to start doing what He tells you to do. And that's one thing. I don't know who it is. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to do just like Victor. I ain't taking to that woodshed that he been to. I don't want to go there and see his name carved on the wall. Victor's been here. You know. But I don't know who it is. But you've been deceiving with your money and you need to stop. And you're asking God to bless you and you've been deceiving. I'm not saying that to put a downness on the service. Because I know everybody in here right now is checking and making sure it ain't them. And that's good news. But somebody knows who I'm talking about. You need to do it God's way. Your way is not working. But the atmosphere is alive in heaven. 10th chapter of Revelation says the seven thunders spoke. What is thunder? It's atmosphere. And some of you have heard this before. But you know why I say it, John? So that it opens you up to hear more from God. One of the things the pastor says, and I'll say it to people in this room, whether you believe this or not, if you want to move in that realm, you need to speak in tongues more. Amen. You don't have to have an experience like me to be able to hear the things of God. Right. But you got to move into that realm. And one of the ways to move into that realm is speaking in tongues. Amen. Am I correct, Pastor? That being that helps you speak in tongues is connected to that realm all the time. Amen. And He cannot give you anything that is not from that realm. Is that good news, you guys? The last thing I always talk about is there were tables and chairs and they were all alive. And I love to say this one. The 9th chapter now, Revelation tells you that there's a table in heaven, and on that table were some horns, and the horns talked. The 16th chapter, 7th verse tells you that the table talked. The 19th chapter tells you a voice came from the throne, and it wasn't God talking. It was the throne that He sits on talking. I was looking on my iPad the other day, and I saw that movie, Beauty and the Beast. And I know people always think he'd been watching too much of that Beauty and the Beast. And I will confess that I used to watch that with KP all the time. But that ain't where I got it. You know, I got it because it's real. The greatest thing about it is this. You don't have to believe a word I'm saying. As long as you believe in Jesus Christ, you go any old way. And when you get there and the chairs and things are talking to you, you're going to act like you knew it all the time. And none of them are going to come up to you, Chuck, later on and say, hey, you know you didn't believe I could say something. But everything in heaven, Michael, was glad I was there. One of the greatest things I get to tell you is this. It was like Jesus Christ had announced I was coming. And when did He do it? The day I accepted Him as Lord and Savior. And you that are born again in this room, you've been announced. They are waiting in anticipation for you to be with them. You want to be famous? You're famous. All of heaven knows about you. Because of what Jesus Christ did. Man, Pastor, I've resisted being a Christian star. You know what I'm talking about. We do that all the time. We'll see someone, Roz. They got some kind of gifts and we make them a Christian star. We worship them. They say something. They do something. And the next thing you know, because they are a Christian star, we bow before them. And John, I have resisted that the whole time. Because when I got to heaven, the only ones that were being praised were the Father and Jesus. There's nothing in my thinking that could even raise me up to that point of view of trying to be a Christian star. I even come into this building with everything I have is to deflate anybody thinking that I'm a Christian star. I remember when I first came to Pastor John and Pastor Jan and said that me and Marilyn are looking at coming to this church and I don't want anybody to worship me. And you remember what you said to me? Probably not. 10 years ago. But I'll tell you what you said. You said, I don't think they'll do that. And I can tell you, John sure ain't done it. Seriously. He's never worshipped me. Do you guys get this? Because the only one that gets you into heaven is Jesus Christ. And whether you realize it or not, you are already famous. He has announced to all of heaven you are coming. The day you accepted him as Lord and Savior, he went to all of heaven and said, so-and-so is coming. Harold is coming. John is coming. Tammy is coming. You know, Sam is coming. Sarah is coming. You got to grab what I'm saying here. Jenny, he said to all of heaven, you are coming. And all of heaven is in anticipation of your arrival. You want to be famous? You famous. But the famous there is different than the famous here. This is temporal. That's eternal.
Glory.
You got to grab that. Some of you are seeking temporal famous. There you are famous forever. And it doesn't mean the same thing as famous on the planet means. It does mean everyone loves you and likes you. You have no critics. No one's putting you in a special column in the newspaper and talking about how what you said. No internet is kind of coming up against you. You guys hear what I just said? All of heaven was glad I was there. I'm looking at the time back there. I'm still on East Coast time. According to my watch, it's 3:00. Whether you realize it or not. I mainly do that because I want to know what time I'm supposed to call Maryland. So this helps me do that. If I change it, then I lose time sometimes. Tonight I'll come back and finish what I'm saying now. I thought I would get through it in this session. But I'm not going to be able to finish it right now. And that isn't a teaser for you to come back tonight. I would love to see the services packed as it is just right now.
Amen.
My Bible says in the last days we are not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. My Bible says in the last day that we really need to get together more often.
Amen.
And I know we talk about family time and all that. And I remember when we first started that fad. The majority of you ain't doing family time and you know that. You know, you need to spend more time with your brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Amen.
You're going to go through some rough times. It is better that you start being bound together now than later on. I'm just putting that out there. And some of you go home tonight and you'll probably get that old thing that says, I need some rest. Okay, and if that's what God tells you to do, rest, go ahead. But I'm challenging you. To come back, because he's got more for you.
That's right.
I don't have more for you. Pastor Jan doesn't have more for you. Pastor John doesn't have more for you. Pastor John doesn't have more for you. He has more for you.
Yeah.
You guys hear what I just said?
Yeah.
We need to come together more often. And I know we're trying to get modern because we say, well, society ain't the same. Society ain't the same, but God is the same. Listen to what I just said. Society ain't the same, but God is the same. And you cannot overdo spending time with God. You were created, you might as well get used to it, Pastor John. You were created to be with Him for eternity. Amen. If you're getting tired of Him now, you're in trouble. Because when you get to heaven, you're going to be with Him all the time any old way. Somebody better grab what I just said there. Pastor Jan wants to come up here and do some things, or Pastor John. And I'm going to give it into their hands. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to make an invitation. And this is what the invitation is going to be about. Those that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we want to pray for you to accept Him as Lord and Savior. The things that I've talked about when I entered in, if you don't know Jesus, it's not going to happen to you. And I know you will say to me, well, I don't know if I believe that. You'll find out. Because you'll leave your body someday. Then there's you that are been born again, but you are not walking the way God wants you to walk. We call it backsliding. And most of the time we refer to it as someone that's left the faith. You know how really that is, John? Pastor John, if you're not doing what God wants you to do, you've left the faith. Did you hear what I just said? And some of you out there know that you're not doing what God wants you to do. And you don't consider yourself backsliding. But you have. Whether you like it or not. Because you're not walking with Him. And I'm not saying that to condemn anybody. But let's at least be honest with ourselves. He wants you more than you can ever manage to walk in His ways. Yeah. The other things that I usually pray about now is forgiveness. I believe the person has to be a person that wants to forgive. But sometimes we need someone to pray with us so that we move in that direction. Many of us in the room have somebody that we have not forgiven. And God wants us to let go of it. There are people, yes, that have done you wrong in a lot of areas. Doesn't mean they're right, but you're carrying a baggage you don't have to. And it is really hindering you from being all you can in God Almighty. And I'm not saying you're not going to go to heaven. I'm not going to say that He doesn't love you. But I am going to say He can't use you the way He wants to. I like what Victor said when he said you're married to Him and He denied Him to use His body. God wants to use your body so other people on this planet can come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. And the last area that I'm going to come back and probably emphasize is this one. There are people you said you have forgiven, but you don't want nobody to bring their name up. And when they do bring their name up, you can't stand them. You hope they hurry up and finish talking about them. There's something that goes on the inside of you like, ooh. You know God can heal you from that? Where it doesn't bother you? There are people that have been in my life before I left this planet and after. But God has healed me so that they don't get into me. Do you understand? And I can hug them. I can kiss them on the cheek. I can tell them I love them because they don't bother me. God wants to free some of you from that area. He's telling me one more area because this is a church of healing. And I will be asking for people to come up and we will be praying for healing because it happens here. Not everywhere I go, it happens. Do you guys hear me? But this building's been already bathed in the Spirit of God for healing. And if you got something going on in your body, you're most likely are going to leave here without it going on in your body. And how can I say that? Because I know my Father, and he wouldn't have me bring it up unless he's going to do something about it. I have the easy job. I just need to do what he says. If there's no one else that wants to come forward right now and have prayer, we're going to dismiss you. I'm going to pray first. Oh, you want to pray, Pastor?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that come forth today. Father, we thank you for the people that have come forward to receive. And Father, may those that have to leave be blessed, and those that wish to stay may stay and pray with us. And Father, we believe in the salvation that has been ministered to us for our victory this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.